This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour number two as we roll along this morning. Hey, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb because we're coming out of the weekend, and why not, right? We got to get you all the good, the bad, and the dumb. So Sunday morning, if you woke up and saw the Green Bay Packers-Giants game, this has been pointed out that this was like the first time that we sent two teams with winning records to London to play a game, which is really cool because we're finally giving them something worthwhile. And also, the Green Bay Packers had never been to London before. Now, I was reading an article about that because I was curious as to how teams go to London and how they don't go to London. And I didn't think you had a choice, to be honest with you. There's, you know, 32 teams. Everybody's kind of supposed to be equal. But the way the article kind of went was, you know, the Packers obviously love their home games. They love Lambeau Field. They get top dollar when they're at Lambeau Field. But one other reason why they don't go is because Packer fans travel really, really, really well. And so if you're an owner of a stadium that has Green Bay coming in, even if you're a team that, you know, hey, is pretty good, you can still get a lot of top dollar money from Packer fans coming in, concessions and whatnot, and ticket sales for the Packers because they travel really well, and nobody wanted to give up that cash cow. So however it's promoted in London, however it's divvied up, it didn't feel like the Green Bay Packers were an economically viable team to send over there when they make a ton of money in their own gate and they're not giving up a home game and people don't want to give up the gate that their fans generate for them when you host them. So, but I didn't think that teams were built that way. There are plenty of teams that sell out. There are plenty of teams that travel well. There are plenty of teams that, you know, have, you know, strong fan bases that you would want to bring to London. But if you're a good team or historically good team, it is hard to turn down sort of the money that you can make at home rather than splitting the revenue overseas in London. But nevertheless, they took the show on the road. They went to London. A ton of Packer fans went out there. And by the way, the Giants and the Packers are two of the top fan bases in London. So as fans, as people in Great Britain have discovered football and American football and have chosen sides, I think the top team is the Miami Dolphins, but the Packers and the Giants are teams that have been embraced by a majority, a lot of fans. So it was a good atmosphere at the stadium in London and saw the Giants win a game that really, when you look at it, the way what they didn't have and what they were dealing with should not have won, but found a way to win it anyway.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Happy Monday to you as we roll along on Wake Up Call. So you may have had a good weekend. Maybe you had a bad weekend. Maybe you had a dumb weekend. Whatever it may be, here is the good of the day.
You know the good of the day goes to?
Britain. Yes. Britain.
England.
England.
NFL fans. Over the sea, over the pond, across the pond. That's the one I'm looking for. If you didn't catch it, you got to check it out. I can't air it. I can't put it on.
Right?
But ahead of the Giants-Packers games, many, British Giants fans. Now, I don't know if they're authentically Giant fans, but they were yesterday. They had the most perfect chant going on. As only England fans can do when you're ever, if you're watching a soccer game. They had it, and they were all in unison, and it was like so easy to pick up, and it just makes me wish, why can't we have that here in America?
Okay. So you can't play it?
I can't play it because there's a lot of profanity, but basically it says, it's to the point of, we're going to stick that bleeping cheese up your bleep.
Oh, okay, very cool. Now, are we sure that has never been said anywhere in America?
Oh, I'm not saying it's never been said anywhere in America. But what I'm saying is that there was a huge crowd outside the stadium tailgating. I don't know if they tailgate in England. I don't even know what it's called. Is it possible to fry fish and chips out of the back of your car?
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Maybe so. You can fry a turkey in your backyard.
That's true. Dope. But they were all singing it in unison. And it just sounded amazing.
You know, I'm telling you, it really has been a phenomenon where the NFL basically said, We are going to keep going there until they get it and like it. Because I remember I was the typical, they don't understand it. Football, it ain't soccer. And then they just kept going and going and going. And the NFL is like, no, they'll get it. They'll get it. And they are. They're getting it. That place was packed yesterday. That stadium was packed. It's a good place to go to see your team overseas if you want to take a cool trip.
Yep.
The fans are showing up. Those stadiums are selling. Now, again, I don't know how the tickets are dispersed. I mean, maybe the tickets are not that expensive. Maybe they're hugely expensive. Maybe they give away some of them. I don't know. But just to get a full stadium, I don't know. But whatever is working, it seems to be working. There's a lot of people there.
And like I said, I mean, I don't know if these are authentic Giants fans. Who cares?
Right.
But it was just the fact, I mean, I kind of wish this type of thing would resonate to the United States a little bit. I love the song chants that go on.
Oh, so you didn't, stadiums. you didn't like at in Baton Rouge on Saturday when everybody was going, it's great to be a Tennessee Vol. You don't like that?
No.
That was pretty awesome.
I mean, yeah.
Or would you have preferred, we're going to skin that tiger and eat him for dinner and,
there you
and
go. Now
serve
you're
him
talking,
with a nice
Tony.
Chianti.
Yeah, now
like
you're
that,
talking.
That's better?
Yes.
So don't cheer for your team. Say something derogatory about the other team.
Yeah.
That's what you like.
Or,
I hear you.
Or you know what they do in soccer? They'll cheer a certain player. I mean, they have chants for every single member on a soccer team.
Yeah, that's pretty
incredible.
Cool. That is
and
pretty
everybody
cool.
knows it. Yeah, I don't know if there's a dictionary, if there's a pamphlet that's handed out before the game's like, here's today's chants, like you would when you go to church.
No, you know what it is? It's like you if you go to a game and you hear, if it's just consistent, you want to be a part of it. So you want to learn it. Like if you go to a new city, let's say you go to a hockey game, right? And like Blackhawks game or whatever, and you're in Chicago and you're like, I'm going to be going to 5 or 6 of these a year. And somehow you notice that fans are having a good time singing something at a particular time, then you want to join in with that. So you learn it. So as long as you do it consistently, people will have a tendency to want to jump in. But yeah, that's awesome. You know what? It was weird because somebody was doing their write-up on that game, and they said that the Packer fans invaded London and, you know, they were walking around the streets like for days leading up to the game wearing the cheeseheads. And people didn't know what that was. And, like, so people in London were asking and, you know, they were trying to explain what it was and whatnot to the just general business people of London.
Oh, that's
great.
Fantastic.
Isn't that awesome? Like, can you imagine, you know you live in a, like imagine if you work in New York. Let's say you work in New York City, and there's like an English Premier League game that's going on at the Meadowlands, but the fans came over like 3 days in advance, right? And it's a big game, and
they're
whatnot.
All just wearing fake lizards on their heads.
Whatever they're doing, and you're just like a Wall Street guy, and you're like, oh, tourists, man. But then you keep noticing like everyone's wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
And like you pull people over, you go, what is that? And they have to explain what it is because like, oh, I'm here from South London, man. I'm going to watch a soccer match going on. And they're explaining what's on their head. That's what it was like for Londoners who were just casually doing their own thing. And cheeseheads were everywhere while they were walking to work and dining and whatever it is they were doing.
That's got, I mean.
Great. If that was you, Packer fan, God bless you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. And sorry, London.
Sorry, London. That's what you get.
Yeah, we don't have chance. We have cheese heads.
You never saw them before because Green Bay never went, but there you go. This is one of the premier traveling teams in the National Football League.
I don't know where they reside in London, but I was picturing like the sophisticated Londoners.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, dear God. What is this?
Oh, the Dubonnet Club. No, it's more like a supper club. What is that on your head, young man? Well. Goodness gracious. Is that a Gruyere? What is that? Fantastic. All right, what's the dumb of the... What's the bad of the day?
Bad of the day is Antonio Brown.
Yeah, what's he doing?
I don't know what's going on.
What
so we
is
talked
he
about
doing?
We'll get to the stateside stuff, but first, you know, just to give you a little recap of what's been going on. So he went over to Dubai. I think he was there to perform. Because that's what his thing is now.
Right.
I guess he cheated some rapper out of money when he was over there, exposed himself in a pool, and is accused of stealing about $130,000 worth of jewelry.
Oof.
But what really makes it, I think, for us, where it hits home with us mostly, the despicable part of what's going on, is the tweet he put out regarding Tom and Giselle's divorce, which was he altered a book that said Daddy doesn't live here anymore.
Right.
And he altered it so it would look more like Tom Brady.
God, what is he thinking? What is he doing?
Did I miss something along the way? Weren't they? I thought they were friends.
They were friends, but something happened in their relationship. I think it had something to do with the way he was dismissed from the team last year.
When he walked off the field?
Yeah, and I think the fact that Brady didn't have his back, because he's taken a lot of shots at Brady on Twitter over the last few months.
Oh, my God.
And this is just, like, to go after a man's family, like, not go after a family, like, you know what I mean? Attacking Giselle or the kids.
Yeah.
But just like that, that's that part of his life. Like, you want to say he stinks as a quarterback, or he's a lousy leader, or he's a phony. Fine. It's all, I get it. But when you do that, like, Daddy doesn't live here anymore. And then he's posting pictures of him and Giselle. Like, yep. She's hugging him because they were in good times. It's, what is his deal? And he, again, we're talking about a guy. When he was with the Steelers, for the first couple of years that he was with the Steelers, solid guy. And then the moment he got bopped in the head, remember he got ran over by a truck in that game against the Ravens? The Bengals.
The Bengals, and the license plate said
Vontaze Burfict. Yep. Ever since then, he has been crazy.
Right.
He has been crazy. Now, I'm not saying the two are related. Maybe
I've heard stories that he was that he was kind of like that beforehand, but he was a little reserved when it came out to the public.
Since then, Cryro feet, getting himself out of the Raiders, Buccaneers, getting a second chance.
Can't wear the helmet.
Right. All just time and time again. Doesn't want to pay the woman who painted that thing, and she accused him of sexual harassment.
Like, went after the moving
company, throwing things from a balcony.
Yeah.
And now whatever it is that Tom Brady did, that's the big thing, is that it's gotten under his skin so much that he feels like these are the shots I want to take and I should take. And there's a part of me, listen, man, there's a part of me that's like, we really don't know these people. And these athletes who play with these guys, they kind of know them a little better than us, right? So I have no idea what Tom Brady's like. He has a public persona that we all sort of accept. But maybe Antonio Brown's like, dude, you are only seeing a very small sliver of this guy's Machiavellian nature. Okay, that's fine. If you want to expose that a little bit, that's fine. It's not the first time that's happened in sports or entertainment or politics or whatever. That's fine. But these are really personal shots about, like, involved here. Like,
yeah, this one was just horrible. I'm hoping they're not on social media, on Twitter. But, you know, they can't help. I mean, they're going to eventually, it's going to come back to them, like, somehow, some way.
Think of somebody. Now, I don't have anybody in my life. Like, I don't have an arch enemy. Like, I don't have a nemesis. Like, I don't have somebody in my life that I, like, can't stand. But let's say you did. Let's say for whatever reason you did. There was somebody in your life that you disagreed with at work. You had problems with at work, or you had problems, whatever. And they were going through a divorce. Would you go, ha ha, kids, Daddy's not home anymore. Ha 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 ha. You're going to grow up fatherless. Ha 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 ha. Like, would you do that? Even if you couldn't stand that person, maybe they owed you money, whatever. Like, there's a humanity line that you'd go, you know what? I don't like that guy, but I'm not going to pick on his family life. These kids are going to, they're going through a lot of trauma. It's not, you know, I may not like him, but I'm not doing that. He doesn't have that filter. Like, in his world, it's like, take shots at Brady and take shots at the family and ha ha, Daddy don't live there anymore, does he, kids? That's awful. It's awful. So I agree with you, man. That is a bad, bad of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I can either do it to Aroldis Chapman or to people surprised by this move.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, yeah.
So basically, this is what happened. Aroldis Chapman was supposed to show up for a bullpen session on Friday, decided, I don't want to. So the Yankees have left him off their ALDS roster.
Yes.
Now, where the dumb comes in, that's why I said it's two-part. Dumb on Aroldis Chapman. But I don't think he really wants to play for the Yankees anymore anyways.
I don't think he wants to play for the Yankees at all, and I don't think the Yankees want him to play for him either.
And it's dumb for everyone who's in shock that the Yankees made a move like this.
Yeah, because they haven't really been paying attention.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he has not been the lights-out pitcher that we all remember him. You know, he's not the 105, 106-mile-per-hour hard thrower that he is. He's not that guy anymore.
I don't think he's had a save since May.
I don't think he's not even the closing opportunities to get a save.
He's not even the guy. Like, they're not – he's not the person they rely on.
So the dumbest to everyone who, you know, if you just thought, like, I can't believe they left Chapman off. He's the best closer. He's the hardest thrower in the game. Like, no. This move made a whole lot of sense.
I think it was true
Yankee fans like, yeah, okay.
I think Joel Sherman pointed out, I think it was either him or somebody else. I want to say it was Joel Sherman pointed out that he wasn't even going to be on the roster anyway.
Right.
Like they didn't really want him on the roster anyway. So it wasn't this.
They're probably
news.
Trying to find a way.
It's news because of how he's not on the roster. It's but very likely he would not have been on it anyway, but you never know. But now it makes it clear that he's not
put him on the roster because, you know, they might have said, like, guys, we're paying this guy way too much not to have him on the roster.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it'd be one of those type of moves. Like, you may not use him, but just at least have him there because we're paying him anyways.
This is a guy, the team was like a mess in the bullpen and he got a tattoo that got infected and had to be on the injured list. So
it's very Mets-like, if you ask me.
Yeah, right? I mean, can you imagine at least we got to roll this Chapman. He's like, ha, yeah, about that. See, I got this little kitten tattoo, I like kittens, and it's bleeding everywhere, and it's puffy. I can't, really?
Yeah. My Hello Kitty looks more like Garfield right now.
It's amazing. It's amazing how these guys... I'm not trying to equate the two, but it would be like if I called up and like, hey, I can't come in because I'm massively drunk.
Right.
Like some of these injuries are like, you did what, when, where, what?
Well, you know, I was just on a bender last night and decided not to stop drinking.
Can we just lie about why you can't come to work rather than, yeah, man, I was getting a tattoo and funny story. I was supposed to put that clean, and it's just a big pall of pus now, and I can't even walk. Seriously, what is wrong with these? Like, no one's ever told you to learn how to.
maybe you should have done the tattoo during the off season.
Right. Maybe you wait.
Maybe you don't do the tattoo on your throwing shoulder in season.
Every pitcher in the Yankee bullpen can't throw.
Right.
Right. Like, just, I don't know. So. Read the room, Aroldis Chapman. But he clearly doesn't want to play for them.
And I think the feeling's mutual. That's why it's dumb. I mean, anyone shocked and all the articles you're reading. Oh, you would not believe why he was. Come on, guys. Come on. He was going to be left off the roster or not even used.
Good point. Good, the bad, and the dumb as we roll along on a football Monday as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks for joining us as we continue. So Ron sent me that chant. The one was not safe to air.
Yeah.
Of the New York Giants, British fans. It's not. Definitely not. But it was very cool. They were all in. I was telling you there was that one lady in the video was wearing a Lawrence Taylor jersey. That was really cool. I wonder if she saw one play Lawrence Taylor made in the 80s.
She probably might have only seen, maybe she saw the one play.
Maybe she saw the one play. Maybe she was all into those videos. But you know, remember NFL would make those videos.
Do you think any of them were trying to find them out of the field?
Yeah, right.
I don't see 56 anywhere out there.
I got this jersey from my nephew. I don't really see him playing on the field right now. Who is this, by the way?
Taylor.
Can you imagine? You know what would be great? If that woman in the 56 jersey, if we could get her in the 56 jersey and fly her to Foxborough into a Bill Belichick press conference, and she raised her hand and he said, yeah, I'm wearing this jersey that my nephew got me. And he said he was a player for you. Do you know who this is? And let just Belichick tell her how he was the greatest football player who ever played the NFL ever. Ever walked the earth. If you ever heard Bill Belichick talk about Lawrence Taylor,
It's sainthood in Canton. Belichick one time was asked a Khalil Mack question. Remember that? Remember the couple years ago? He was asked about Khalil Mack, and he said, well, you know, people, they say he's like Lawrence Taylor. And Bill Belichick went, just shook his head. Like, no, stop. Stop. He's a good player. We're talking about Lawrence Taylor. Like, stop.
The greatest human being ever.
Yeah, like the greatest ever. Like, forget, you all love your position players. The greatest ever to play football.
I'm still holding out for Lawrence Taylor to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's right. Lawrence Taylor. He loved LT, man. He loved LT.
Do you think he loved his performance in Waterboy?
Maybe. It's possible. he loved LT so much. Remember when against the Chargers years and years ago, somebody brought up LT in LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yeah.
There's only one LT. Yeah, no. So stop this right now. Let's cut this out. So that's what we need to do. We need to get that woman on a plane to Foxborough.
Totally forgot about that.
Like, this is my idea. And people in TV, why aren't you doing this? Go to London, grab the lady, all expense paid trip to Foxborough, give her an access pass, and have Bill Belichick explain to this woman from London exactly who Lawrence Taylor is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great TV?
Education.
She doesn't know anything about, like, he's breaking up. Watch how he moves. Like, watch how he basically takes three guys and throws them to the ground and gets the quarterback. Watch how he takes this one guy and flips him into row 17 and then just, the quarterback falls on the ground because he doesn't want to be hit by Lawrence Taylor.
Look at the quickness. Look at the speed.
Look at the speed. Look how he sets up. He's over here. And ma'am, look, in 1 second, he's going to be right here. Look at this. Right here. Boom. Right here. Look how quick that was.
Now, he's He's lined up on the weak side, and the quarterback's going to roll out to the strong side. But watch how fast he's over there.
He's going
to
be there in a second and a half. Watch this.
Yeah, don't blink. Don't blink because you'll miss it.
She's not going to realize what just happened. Like,
yeah.
She'll be back in London telling all her pub mates that this very nice man from Boston explained to her who her jersey number was, and everyone in America would be jealous.
Would she also sit there like, you know, it's like, oh, isn't that a foul for him tackling, taking him down to the ground? You can't do that.
You can't do that, no. He will just give her the education of a lifetime on who that jersey number is. But you know what? Maybe she knows who he is. We don't know. But it my betting guess is that she has no idea. She just got a very popular Giants jersey.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Because, yeah. I mean, if you look around, I mean, there's Eli Manning jerseys.
There's a bunch of Eli Manning jerseys. There's a whole bunch of those.
Didn't really see too many Daniel Jones.
No Daniel Jones jerseys. By the way, Daniel Jones, I'm just going to say this right now, guys. I have no idea if Daniel Jones is the quarterback of the future, but one of the things you love is this is a guy that is playing for his job, and you can tell every single week.
Yeah.
He is playing his tail off to earn the position of Giants franchise quarterback.
Now, I did love, and it's gross, but I mean, you know, he was bleeding.
He was bleeding.
I felt really bad for his center.
I know.
Who looked like that time of the month came early for him.
Right, exactly. Yikes. Daniel Jones is, I mean, this is what you want, right? Like, Baker Mayfield has been given a second chance. And I'm not saying Baker Mayfield's not trying. He's trying. But he there's got to be a moment quietly, we're only in a quiet spot only he knows, where he's like, my career is over. I am done with this league. They're never going to give me a chance to do this again. I can be a backup and maybe get another chance to start. But as far as being QB1 anywhere, that's, my life is over. And Daniel Jones is going to bed every single night going, I will do it again next week. I will try my best. Again, I don't know if Brian Daboll and the staff look at him and go, you know what, no matter what, man, there's some other fish in the sea and we got to go get those. But you got to admire the guy. That guy had a bum ankle. I was in the second half of that game, he was running all over the field as if the ankle injury was a joke. Like it was a trick. I was like, there's no way a week ago he was playing with a minor sprained ankle.
Right.
He was running all over the place. Saquon Barkley was out in the second half of the shoulder injury, came back later, had a big run. But Daniel Jones was like, don't worry, I got this. I'll run. I'll run for first downs all day if I have to. So again, you just want to see it in a player, just playing his tail off to keep his job. Good job.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Some college games over the weekend. See how close Alabama came to losing? Jimbo Fisher almost won that one. But in the end, the Crimson Tide won the game. But in the end, they're now third in the AP poll. I know, the AP poll, that doesn't matter anything. But still, third in the AP poll. Georgia back to number one. Ohio State bumped up to number two to break the SEC 1-2 deadlock for a while. Coming up on Saturday, by the way, if you go to your calendar and you start at the top of the month and you count down, you'll find yourself going 1, 2, 3. Oh, it's the third Saturday in October. And third Saturday in October in college football means only one thing: Alabama, Tennessee. And normally it usually has meant Alabama crushing Tennessee. But this year it's going to be in Knoxville, and Tennessee and Alabama. The Vols are sixth in the nation. Alabama is third. This is going to be a monumental game for Tennessee. This is like when you have an opponent that is consistent on your schedule and they don't want to mess with like these rivalries in college football. So, for example, over the weekend, Georgia played Auburn. It's the Deep South's oldest rivalry. It's one of those things that even in a new era of scheduling, they just kind of want to keep somewhat consistent when it's interdivisional matchups. And this one in particular, both schools wanted to keep it on the calendar. It's a very, very big deal. Tennessee, Alabama. You could see Tennessee going, we don't want to mess with Alabama anymore. Whew. But they don't. They want that game. It's a big game. It's their measuring stick, and it's the measuring stick for everybody that gets to play Alabama every single year, but that's where Tennessee is. And they know that if you want to be the creme de la creme of the conference, that's a team you're going to have to go through at least today. But they also think long-term. You know, one day Nick Saban's not going to be around anymore. Alabama's going to have its ups and downs. Maybe the Alabama stays consistent under the new guy, and they're a formidable force for 20 years. Maybe they take a dip, and you sort of beat them. But nevertheless, the tradition of those two games, of that game, will be there. But it's going to be huge, absolutely huge. I'll get right back into the NFL. Hey, we are approaching heavy weather season, and it kind of got me thinking, right? Driving should be an enjoyable experience, even when it's raining. But you know what's the worst situation? Like, you're having a good moment in the car, like, I don't know, listening to this show, like The Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, or your favorite song or whatnot. Suddenly, everything in the car is ruined because of you got squeaky wipers. How embarrassing. It's also very dangerous. And that's when you know you need new wipers. Don't let squeaky wipers ruin great moments. Hear clearly, by Michelin wipers. Michelin is always reminding drivers how important it is to regularly check your wipers for safety on the road. They've even made it an official holiday, the International Check Your Wipers Day. That's coming up November 16th. Mark it on your calendar. So don't forget, check your wipers. It's simple to update your wipers to Michelin. Pick them up today at Walmart. All right, so I brought up the college thing for a reason, all right? We have a tendency in this country to be very black and white with stuff, right? Either or. Some of us live in the gray area, but some people like to live on the sort of, it's this that's better than that, or that's better than this. And in reality, a lot of us are sort of in the middle. But the voices that are on the extreme are the loudest, right? And that's why if you go to social media, like in politics, you'll see, let's say, a political issue, right? And one side is like, we must get rid of this. And another side says, no, we must keep this and give it more money. And most people are sort of in the middle where like, I kind of want it to be around, but I don't need to spend $4 trillion on it, right? In sports, we tend to do this a lot, with football especially. College is so much better. Like, there are college people who tweet things like, college football is proof God loves us and wants us to be happy. And then there are other people who are like, yeah, but a lot of the games stink. But in the NFL, I like the NFL because there's parity. There's this level of, I really don't know, right? I think I know, but I don't know. You give me Alabama Vanderbilt, I know. But you could give me Houston versus Jacksonville, and I don't know, right? Houston getting not only their first win over the Jags, but it's the second straight loss by the Jags, and the ninth straight loss to the Houston Texans. So you feel like you don't know. Tonight's another example of that. The Raiders are taking on Kansas City, and I think Kansas City wins, and if I was betting, I'd probably even take them to cover the 7.5 points. But I'm not 100% sure, because sometimes desperate teams can pull off something that you don't expect, and sometimes teams can disappoint you. That's just the nature of this league. Sometimes you think team A has got this thing going for them and that thing going for them, and in the end, they don't. Go to the London game, for example. The Green Bay Packers had things going in the right direction. They were 3-1, and not only are they 3-1, it was starting to mirror a little bit, at least record-wise, what they did last year. Fell apart in the opening game against the Saints, looked ridiculous, everybody was like, woo! And then they started winning games, and you realize, oh no, this is the Packers. And the Giants were 3-1, but there was a weird 3-1, right? Like, beat Carolina late, lost to the Dallas Cowboys when it was just a better football team that sort of came in and went, yeah, we got this. And so the Giants found themselves down in this game. It was 17-3 one time. It was 20-10. And then the Giants in the second half pull off this upset. And they do it by keeping Green Bay out of the end zone. Here's the Packers on the road in London, but it's not at MetLife Stadium. And they're kind of putting up some touchdowns, and things seem to be going well. They're moving the ball. They had a 13-play drive, right? All of a sudden, they can't do anything with it. It's another punt. There were no turnovers in the game. So it wasn't as if the Giants were intercepting Rodgers all day or they were recovering fumbles. They were just stymieing the Packers' offense. And the Giants went from absolutely, absolutely going to lose this game to winning this game and winning it in a really impressive way. So much so now that at 4-1, you have to start asking yourself, what kind of 4-1 is this? For me, 5-6 games into a season is when I can really start going, okay, your schedule was saying this, your schedule was this, but now here's the meat of your schedule. But I think they're playing really hard for Brian Daboll. And as I mentioned earlier, Daniel Jones is playing in a way that you'd want to see from a guy that's trying to keep his job. He's playing in a way that you would say, listen, again, there may be better quarterbacks available to the Giants down the road. And maybe they don't want to commit the kind of money that you'd want to commit to a franchise quarterback. But you cannot deny that he's making that a difficult decision for Giants brass. It's not flashy numbers. He didn't throw any touchdowns. But you know what? He got first downs with his legs. On a critical drive, he was 7-of-7 until he threw the ball in the back of the end zone for an incomplete pass because the pressure was coming and there was nobody open. And he put it right where you should, like seat 5A. Those make it tough, right? This makes it tough. If I'm Matt Rhule today in Carolina, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know my quarterback can't play. I know Baker Mayfield is struggling. He's struggling so bad right now, I do not know what the future is going to be like. The same thing in Washington. Now, Carson Wentz is sort of doing the same thing in Washington statistically that all the other quarterbacks have done before, right? Just not that great. He doesn't take the team on their shoulder. He's not the guy that's like, don't worry, I got this. I'll carry you to the finish line. This is a Washington team. Remember that Carson Wentz, when he started week one, was the seventh different starting quarterback they have used to start the season. 7 years, seven different guys. And Wentz isn't the worst one, but now they're 1-4, and now is it time to go to Sam Howell if you're Ron Rivera? Or is that committing career suicide if you're Ron Rivera? Do you say, you know what? Nope. Carson Wentz is our guy. This is the horse we're riding on. I don't know where this is going, but this is the guy. Or do you admit maybe Sam Howell, who we got in the fifth round of the draft out of North Carolina, is worthy of a look because he did some things in the preseason that we liked, but it was preseason. I don't know. And I know that I wouldn't want to be in that room. If Matt Rhule goes to PJ Walker in Carolina, Dave Tepper will fire him the second he makes that decision. Because that's just an admission that a guy who came from the college ranks, who was supposed to come in and be a guy that was going to groom this team into the way Dave Tepper wants it. Remember, Tepper got rid of Ron Rivera because they disagreed on the philosophy of where Tepper wanted the team to go. Tepper was an analytical guy and Rivera's not really. But I remember at the time when we said that, Ron Rivera will find a job in 8 seconds, and this was probably a pretty good divorce between the two guys. When you own a team, you want it to be run your way. And if you have a guy as a head coach that doesn't really like running it that way, part company and shake hands and say, you know what, we'll still send each other some Christmas cards. There's no ill will here. We just differ on the way things should be run. But he went and got the guy that he thought was going to be a guy running it the way he wants, and the team hasn't produced any results. And if you go to PJ Walker and giving up on the currency that it took to get Baker Mayfield,
that's it. I think that's it for Matt Rhule. Heck, Matt Rhule might be fired today. I mean, who knows what Dave Tepper is it might do. Ron Rivera is in a different situation. He's a well-respected coach, but this is year three. It's another bad year. The thing, though, with Washington is who's really calling the shots there, right? Is it still Dan Snyder, or did he give full control to his wife? Like, I don't know who's calling the shots there, so Rivera might be able to sort of flow with this a little bit. They did make the playoffs, what, 2 years ago, and they lost to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady's first run with the Buccaneers. But it's not a team. You know what's sad about this, Ron? And this used to be one of the premier franchises in the NFL.
I know.
This used to be like, and don't we all know the game, right? In Major League Baseball, the Red Sox are more important than the Tampa Bay Rays, right? We get it. The Washington Redskins were one of the premier franchises in this league. And now what have they been since 99? Since Dan Snyder took the team? Place where coaches go to disappear. Quarterbacks go to disappear. Right? This is an organization that Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. And what have they become in the last two and a half decades? They cannot. Seven quarterbacks starting the season in 7 years? Is that crazy? And guess what? It'll be eight. Because I doubt Carson Wentz is going to start next season for this team. Unless there's a dramatic turnaround.
No, that's not happening.
Sam Howell, it's your turn.
I mean, wouldn't be surprised if they make a move. I mean, because this will be up their alley, make a move for like Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield.
And it's got to be a panic a little bit because, again, I know it's a little early, but, hey, in a blink of an eye, we're going to be halfway done with this season. And they're looking up at a Philadelphia team that's rock solid. The Dallas Cowboys have got a defense, and they're getting their quarterback back in a couple of weeks. And the Giants, we don't know what exactly to make of the Giants, but they certainly are playing hard under Brian Daboll. And Washington's losing all over the place. They're losing close games like they did against Tennessee. They're getting shellacked by the Cowboys or the Eagles, right? It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, they're getting their tail handed to them. And again, they gave Brian Robinson a standing ovation, and that's great, but there is nothing else to cheer about with this team.
It was a beautiful moment.
Now,
is it possible for them to force Dan Snyder to sell the team?
It's hard because if you are
it's
an
ownership,
owner.
Yeah, it's the, yeah, the, now the listen, same old thing.
If you want to get rid of him because of the emails or the workplace culture, those are legitimate. If you get rid, I guarantee you will not find very many owners that will get rid of an owner because their team isn't very good, right? That's a place the owners will never go to because that's exactly like I could see myself in this mirror where the ball doesn't bounce our way. And next thing you know, someone's like, well, you did vote Dan Snyder out after 20 years of incompetence. Why don't we move that slope down to 10? Or why don't we move that slope down to 8? Right? But if you want to get him to on the other things that have happened, yeah, you
just the fact that now he's been living on a yacht. Because he won't set foot in American soil because he's going to be indicted.
I'm probably going to text Dave Preston when this open. I'm like, tell me exactly who's running the show.
Dude. Yeah.
Like, are you guys hearing that Snyder's making?
Is he phoning in from the yacht?
Or did he? Like, because it's one thing to have like somebody go, that person is the in control, but they're not in control. Like, you know how it works.
But he's someone who's always had his hand on this team.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to believe he doesn't have a say what's going on with this organization.
Because, I mean, like, I'll say there are owners that buy teams and then they put the people they trust in the right positions to run the team. And they just sit back on a pile of Scrooge McDuck money.
Exactly.
But Dan Snyder isn't that.
No. All right, we'll come back as we continue on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Don't forget Monday Night Football tonight. And then, of course, we'll have top five, bottom five tomorrow as we continue on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, coming up in hour number three, we're going to dive into one of the controversial moments of week number five. There were two controversial moments that I think drew a lot of people's attention. One, was Teddy Bridgewater was taken out of the game in the Miami Jets game because he hit his head. And then he was analyzed, and because he had some muscle issues, he was out of the game. This is a response to what the Dolphins had done with Tua Tagovailoa over week three and week four. Week two and week three. Or maybe it was the other way around. But nevertheless, when that Thursday night game happened and he'd be taken out on a stretcher, that was week four. Then the Dolphins, the concussion protocol had been changed because there was enough of an outcry. But the second one, and we're going to get into, is there was a roughing the passer penalty on the Atlanta Falcons in their game against Tampa Bay. And because it was Tom Brady, everybody went crazy. And everybody seemed to agree, including myself, that it was a really, really bad call. There is actually a website that has all the penalties broken down. So does Tom Brady get the most roughing the passer penalties calls in the league, as people have implied? We got that for you coming up in hour number three. Whether he does or not, it doesn't matter. There is certainly a perception that he is. The league has been trying to protect quarterbacks for a long time, and have they gone to a point where now it is just insane? And if you are a defender in this league, how frustrated are you going to be? So we'll talk about both of those coming up in hour number two. Continue again, looking at the games that happened in week number five. I mean, it wasn't a bad weekend for some games. It really wasn't. There were some really good ones. There were some stinkers, of course, but there were some other good ones, including the return of one player where we went, hey, welcome back, certain individual that can score touchdowns at the Superdome yesterday. It's all coming up as hour three rolls along.